everyone. Welcome to Geek Tyrant Weekly. This is episode number 92. We are inching our way towards our 100th episode, in which we will do nothing special whatsoever. Because what's in a number? Okay, anyway, I'm your host, Dr. Venkman. And joining us today, we have a few of our guys, the usual suspects. Mazer?
Yes.
Hello, Mazer.
It's awesome. It's like it's in 3D.
It is. Everything's in 3D these days, isn't it?
Well, when I walk around, but when I take the glasses off, things are kind of blurry.
This is the first 3D podcast ever.
The first 3D audio podcast.
Guys, it was going to be our 100th episode 3D special. You totally ruined it.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, we were going to, you know, have special 3D glasses and everything for the podcast. Man, that would have been great. Ben P., how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. You got my mind churning. Now I'm thinking, like, we should set up some sort of 3D camera and, like, film us on video actually recording the podcast so we could actually do the first 3D podcast, because I feel like we could get a lot of publicity from that.
We probably could. You're absolutely right. Why not?
That seems a bit out of our range as far as
and
that.
We can
what are you talking about? I can set up two flips right next to each other. Bam.
Nice.
3D.
We could, like, start, like, doing things with our hands at the camera, like pointing and stuff, and people are like, whoa, he's pointing at my face. It's like I could touch him, or he could touch me.
We'll work on the technical issues of that and report back in a couple weeks. We'll see if that's feasible for us.
First of all, I need a way to view the 3D.
Yeah.
Well, aren't we selling 3D glasses in our store?
We are. Not yet.
Oh.
No.
Oh. Did I ruin it?
Spoiler alert.
I was supposed to do that this week.
Spoiler alert. We will be selling 3D glasses in the store soon.
Why? The classic red and blue ones, though.
Yes. And do you want to know why we're going to be doing that?
Tell me.
I will not tell you. I can't tell you yet.
Check the site around April.
But it's for something very, very special.
Nice.
So hold on for that. Hold on to your butts. What movie is that from?
Jurassic Park.
Oh, sheesh. That was fast. All right, never mind. All right, P. Vader.
Yo, yo.
P. Vader. What's up, buddy?
Doing good, man.
Awesome. How's life?
Good.
Good.
I'm holding on to my butt.
Good.
That's how you work it out.
I couldn't ask you to do anything more at this point. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Congratulations with that.
Thank you.
And before we go any further, we usually do this at the end of the podcast, but I'm just going to kind of do it right now for, you know, the people that never listen to the end of the podcast. Just so you know, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. If you're not a fan of ours on Facebook yet, go ahead and fan us on Facebook at facebook.com/geektyrantfans. We've also got Twitter at Geek Tyrant, so you can follow us on Twitter, because Twitter's like the new...
It's the new Friendster.
It's the new Friendster, there you go. And if you're so inclined to help us keep everything going and help us survive in life, you can donate at geektyrant.com/donate. We would appreciate that. And if you want a t-shirt or anything, t-shirt, glasses, you know, other cool little knickknacks, come on by geektyrant.me and buy some stuff. And yeah, so there's that. And Ben.
Yes.
Real quick, just plug your podcast right now while we're on it.
Thank you, sir. We started a new podcast a little while back, called the Not Just New Movies podcast. You can find that in iTunes. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I talked to you guys about this last week. I'm going to start posting those episodes up on Geek Tyrant just so you guys can kind of you know, keep in touch with what's going on there. And we just confirmed our very own Dr. Venkman as the guest for our special Halloween episode that we're going to be doing. So we're going to be talking about Trick or Treat on October 31st, which is actually a Sunday, which is when we record the episode. So keep your eyes peeled in the coming weeks for that episode. And yeah, good stuff.
So has the Apple II already calculated that movie?
Dude, you're busting the bubble there, Pima. There, T-Vader. I think I guess we're gonna have to.
All you had to say was yes.
I think we're gonna have to redact this, but we'll leave it be.
All right, so we're gonna move on to some box office numbers really quick. Since it's pretty late in the week. You probably all know by now that Jackass 3D came in at number one. No big surprise. I ended up going to a midnight show for this on its opening weekend, and there were four shows that were all sold out. So it was no surprise that this movie was just going to kick ass at the box office this weekend. I was watching a bunch of guys out there doing crazy crap. I mean, it's funny. I laughed through the whole movie.
We'll talk about it in a minute.
We will. Number two was Red. We'll talk about that one as well. 21.7. Oh, by the way, Jackass 3D made $3 million as well. Number three, Social Network in its third week made 10.3. Number four, Disney Secretariat at 9.3 in its second week. And number five, Life as We Know It, 8.9. mil in its second week in the box office. So that's this last weekend's box office. Nothing too crazy going on there, but we're going to talk about some of those movies after we do this new game that Mazer came up with. It's a new little movie game we're going to play.
Well, this is only because I've had such complete failures at box office history. And then I would go with things like James Bond. There's like 22 James Bond films. Seems like a pretty safe bet. All right, so the game is Connect 3. I'm going to give you three clues, and you have to guess what the connection is going to be. It's all film related. So earlier I gave an example. I gave Alec Baldwin, Harrison Ford, and Ben Affleck. And the answer was... The Jack Ryan series. So are you guys ready?
Ready.
Yeah.
Ready.
So you guys can answer before I give all three clues.
Oh, okay. Sweet. I like it.
So it's if you can get to three, that's the most you'll get.
All right.
All right.
So your first two clues are going to be John Lithgow.
Operation Dumbo Drop.
Justin Timberlake. And Rupert Everett.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Rupert Everett.
John Lithgow, Justin Timberlake, Rupert Everett.
You should just start a timer somewhere just in case.
Yeah, well, this is our first time playing this game, everybody, so.
Oh, I've got it.
You've got
okay.
it?
I think I do. Shrek.
That is correct.
Nice.
See, I wasn't even thinking animated.
Me neither.
Animated just was like not in my mind frame. I was thinking everything else.
I was trying to throw you guys off.
And you did. You won. You beat me and P. Vader, so.
All right. Here we go. Number two. Sorry. Pulp Fiction.
Quentin Tarantino.
Ocean's 12. And Planet Terror.
Pulp Fiction. Planet Terror. And what was the other one?
Ocean's 12.
Ocean's 12.
Pulp Fiction. Wow, that one's kind of tough.
I'll give you a clue. It's an actor.
I'm trying to think of the bad guy.
I was thinking of an actor, but
you can just shout stuff out. There's
okay.
no
Andy Garcia?
No.
Al Pacino?
Nope.
Ocean's 12. Really?
Yep.
Catherine Zeta-Jones. I know she wasn't.
Planet Terror?
Yep. Okay, we've gone past a minute. The answer is Bruce Willis.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. I don't like this game at all.
Wow.
I didn't realize he was in Planet Terror.
I
didn't even... Yeah, I totally forgot he was even in that movie.
I knew he was in Planet Terror, but I totally forgot he was in Ocean's 12. But, yeah. Wow.
All right, here's number 3.
Dang, this is not easy.
Steve Carell, Johnny Depp, and William Dafoe.
Boondock Saints. Let's see. Man, these people cannot be any more different from each other.
Who was the last person?
I know.
William Dafoe. Steve Carell, Johnny Depp, William Dafoe. The clue I'll give you is it's an actress.
Oh, it's an actress. Oh.
Well, hell, that's not easy at all.
Anne Hathaway?
Nope.
Keira Knightley.
Eva Mendes.
Nope.
Christina Ricci.
Nope.
Tina Fey.
Penelope Cruz.
Nope. And that's time. Juliette Binoche.
Oh yeah, like I'm gonna get that.
Who?
All right, this one's not good. I don't think this one's going to do – this one's going to do well.
We're getting even harder.
I don't think any of them have done well.
This one's going to be even harder. All right. I thought you guys were going to get those. All right.
That was difficult.
Okay. Here's the clues. Juliette Binoche, Tim Roth, and Michael Pitt.
Man. The assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford.
No. The clue is it's a director.
Oh, ooh. Gosh.
Julia Binoche. Who's the middle one?
Tim Roth and Michael Pitt.
Wow. Michael Haneke?
Bam.
Nice.
Michael Haneke. So Ben walks away with 2 points. All right.
Hooray!
Good. Yay!
That concludes.
We'll get better. We'll get
the
better
next three.
All right. Yeah, that was.
Get any better? Won't get better.
It was rusty, man. That was our first go around.
Yeah. Next time we'll flip around who's asking the question, so it can be. Yeah. So.
Good game, Mazer. Good game.
Nice.
No,
yeah.
I don't like it at all.
I think it's challenging because you really have to think about what these, you know, what these people have done.
Yeah. It's a good thought process to go through.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's our new game. It's going to be fun next week.
Hopefully you were able to follow along at home.
So we're going to talk about some movies that we all saw this week, and it's movies, TV shows, stuff like that. We'll start off with Red, which came out this last weekend.
This place looks fantastic, Victoria. How'd you make the transition?
I love it here. I love the baking. I love the flower arranging.
They retire us.
You can't just flip a switch and become someone else.
What are we supposed to do?
I do take the odd contract on the side. I just can't stop.
Hi, this is Sarah.
It's Frank Moses.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. Try a little bit more to the left there. Yeah, it's just perfect.
Why are you trying to kill me?
There's still something wrong with this guy's head.
He was given daily doses of LSD for 11 years.
Well, in that case, he looks great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Which I thoroughly enjoyed. I loved that movie. I thought it was great. It was written well. You know, it had a good amount of action in it. The acting was good. The movie was just a fun ride. And I really, really enjoyed it. I thought everyone did a great job in it. That was a great translation of the Warren Ellis comic book. What do you guys think?
Mazer, did you get a chance to see this?
I got a chance to see it. I got to say, the film for me as a whole wasn't brilliant, obviously, but I feel like it had a lot of great moments. Like, there was just a lot of little cool things that you got to see every actor do on screen, like Morgan Freeman punching
Richard Dreyfuss
several times. I mean, it looked really bad. I think it was on Richard Dreyfuss's part doing a bad job selling the punch. But there was a lot of fun moments. Not to say that was the highlight, but there was a lot of great fun moments that I don't want to like steal. But I think it's one of those films, just like maybe comparison to the Ocean's films, where every character has like their cool little moment and their cool time moment of payoff.
Yeah.
I kind of it's been a little while since I've seen it. I'm kind of right there with you, Mazer. It's not like a totally brilliant film. It's a fun film. You'll definitely walk away, or while you're in it, you're gonna have fun watching it. You know, I think this isn't giving anything away because it's in the TV spot in the trailer. When Bruce Willis gets out of that car and that's like moving, that's really badass. I'm not one for, you know, that kind of stuff impressing me, like the slow-mo, like, oh, I'm getting out of the car. But when that thing, it's like spinning, it's like, you know, Grand Theft Auto or something where they did
it. It was such a slick move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just awesome.
Yeah, and then in the same thing, like when John Malkovich shoots that rocket that's coming at him with a single bullet, that's pretty damn cool as well. So it's definitely a fun film. You know, stepping back from it, there's nothing incredibly like memorable about it in that sense.
I thought John Malkovich was probably the most interesting character.
Yeah.
In the movie, and I would like to see just something with that character in it.
Yeah, he was.
As him is like the main focus. I mean, he was awesome in that film.
Yeah, he was pretty fun.
Yeah. Ben, what was your.
I also enjoyed it. I mean, in a review that I wrote, I said that the movie is utterly inconsequential. So it's like, it's nothing. But it is a lot of fun. You know, it's not something that you're going to remember probably even 6 months from now. But just the cast itself, like with a script like this, which is very just kind of, you know, I think the comparison to the Ocean's films is fairly apt. You know, it's very breezy, very kind of like in and out, nothing too heavy, nothing too like serious. And there's a lot of like really, really ridiculous relationship stuff going on between Bruce Willis and Mary Louise Parker, who was great, by the way. I mean, I haven't seen her in much, but I really enjoyed her performance.
Yeah, she was very good in this movie.
You guys liked her in this?
Oh yeah, I thought she
didn't
did
have
great
fun.
Job.
I didn't have so much fun with her.
Wow.
I felt like, well, I like her as an actress, but I feel like the character just wasn't. I mean, she was fun, but not in the same way everyone else was.
Yeah, I loved her personality in it. You know?
Yeah, I thought that,
and it showed like in her face too. I love the facial expressions that she does in the movie, and just playing off Bruce Willis. I thought she did a fantastic job.
I mean, she holds her own against like probably one of the most ridiculous like combo casts of the year. I mean, we've seen this year has been probably more than any other in the past 10.
That's like the theme
of
this year.
Team up movies, you know, with the Expendables and the A-Team and Losers and all these kind of movies Inception. That are kind of along the same. Yeah, exactly. Inception, Scott Pilgrim. Like, there's a lot of these type of things going on, but the ones about the spies and stuff. And Mary Louise Parker, I mean, like I said, I haven't seen her in much, but she played like the Cameron Diaz in Night and Day role that is like relatively thankless. I mean, it's like just the, she's like the straight man, kind of, or quote unquote man, like dealing with and just kind of the audience cipher, you know, dealing with all the ridiculousness that's going on around her. And I thought that she, I thought her personality was great. She just seems very effortless, very charming and kind of fun. And she just rolled with the punches really well. And I thought she definitely held her own. I think, out of everybody in the movie, I was actually probably most impressed with her and Carl Urban, who was really great as the kind of up-and-coming, you know, CIA guy who was like frail and stuff. You know, we've seen him in Star Trek as Bones, and he's going to be in the new Judge Dredd movie and stuff. So I think he's definitely kind of, you know, one of the breakout actors of this movie, just because of, you know, we all expect great things from Morgan Freeman, from Bruce Willis and stuff like that all the time. So it's kind of, it was surprising to see Carl Urban and Mary Louise Parker do so well, you know, against such high competition, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. I'm there with you.
I kind of felt like Carl Urban's, you know, I like Carl Urban. He's fine. But his part in the movie just seems like they got him because they couldn't get Brad Pitt or something. Like, Brad Pitt, to me, you know, I'm not trying to like hype him up or anything, but he was that role. Like, that's the role that I feel like I've always see Brad Pitt playing. And not that Carl Urban did bad or anything, but, you know, it seems like he was almost trying to play Brad Pitt playing that character to me.
Yeah, having seen him in so many roles, most people don't even recognize Carl Urban from thing to thing. Like, I had to double check to make sure that it was him. A trailer for Priest came out.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a character Black Hat in it, and you don't even recognize his performance in it just because you see him, but he acts completely different, and you don't even, you know. And then you see him in Star Trek, and you see him in the Bourne film, and
Lord of the Rings.
Like, people don't even recognize him from film to film. They're like, oh yeah, he's that guy.
Yeah,
I like that guy. What's his name? So yeah. I think hopefully with Red he'll be more recognized, because he's actually not, you know, doing anything majorly. I don't know.
Major.
Well, like, you know, like Bones in Star Trek. He's really doing a character. So.
Yeah. There was a couple other things, or one really other thing that I wanted to mention. I think we should give some credit to Robert Schwenke, who is the director, and like, I don't know, I wasn't necessarily excited about this movie going in, because this guy hasn't directed a lot of stuff that I've been interested in. He directed Flight Plan with Jodie Foster, The Time Traveler's Wife with Eric Bana and Rachel McAdams, and it's like, you know, this guy directing a, you know, team-up spy movie didn't really inspire a lot of confidence in me. But
maybe that's his thing, though, you know? Maybe he's not into, like, those other movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite possible.
This is what he should have been doing, you know?
It's very possible, because I thought this movie had a real, like, palpable sense of confidence about it. Like, everything
seems
very deliberate and done on purpose, and just kind of very smooth and calculated. And, like, there's a couple scenes here that are really impressive. Like, there's a fight scene between Carl Urban and Bruce Willis in an office that was really well done. There's also one where very early on, and you see this in the trailers too, Bruce Willis's house gets attacked by these members of the CIA and like some sort of black ops team or something, and the house just gets freaking destroyed. And it's like one of the coolest house destruction scenes I've seen in a long time. So that type of thing was really cool too. So I don't know, I think we should give some props to Robert Schwenke for kind of stepping above my very low expectations of him.
All right, well, he gets our props then.
Props.
Yeah.
Props up. So who saw Jackass 3D?
This isn't the best idea ever.
When Time magazine called 3D the future of movies.
Yeah! 3, 2, 1!
We doubt This is what they had in mind.
You're taking it to a whole other level.
I did.
I saw it as well.
Well, obviously I did.
I did not.
Why?
Oh, no, I just didn't get around to it.
Well, that's a shame. You should go see it.
Okay. Well, tell me about it.
Why? If I tell you about it, it'll ruin everything for you.
Well, things I don't even think, if you described everything in it, it's one thing to talk about and it's another thing to see it.
I was not expecting what I saw in that movie at all. I mean, from what we saw in the trailer and stuff, yeah, okay, that stuff, I was expecting that, but I mean,
well, there's just, there's stuff they can't even allude to.
I can't even like to tell you. I mean, probably a lot of you already seen it. If not, I laughed from beginning to end. There was not one point during that film that I did not laugh or cringe in disgust.
Yeah. I think pretty much if you saw one and two, you're probably going to see three. If you didn't see those, this is probably not the film for you.
And now, the first time I saw this, I've seen it twice already, and I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it both times that I've seen it. But the first time I saw it, I went to a really late show. It was a 12:40 show, and this guy, I've never been in a movie with such an annoying person before. I mean, this was literally the most annoying moviegoer ever invented.
I hate those.
Can't even say every 5 minutes, because it was like probably every 30 seconds.
Please tell me he didn't get on his phone.
No. It was worse. I wish he would have been on his phone.
Oh, no.
Every 30 seconds, he would yell out at the top of his lungs, "No! No!
Jeez.
No! Yes! Yes! I would so do that. Oh, I want to do that so bad. No! No!"
Can you describe this guy's...
Sounds like you're describing like Preston Lacey or something, who was in Jackass the movie.
Dude, and no joke, it was like that through the whole film from beginning to end. And I'm like, and everyone in the theater was like, "Shut the hell up, dude." You know?
And, did he realize that they were talking to him?
Yeah, probably not, but there's like a point there where he's like, like I said earlier, it's like, "Oh, I would so do that." And he like yelled it so loud. And so, you know, one of the guys in the theater, "Please, please go do that. I would love it if you went and did that and killed yourself." You know, I was just like, and you know, and he just kept doing it. And it was so annoying. And afterwards, you know, got up, got a good look at the guy. And, you know, he was obviously drunk. And, you know, how do you describe a guy like this? I don't know. Yeah. He was a bro, you know?
Oh, yeah.
he was a bro.
It sounds like he doesn't need any more time devoted to him. I think we should just move on from this jackass. I guess jackass used it.
Oh, face. Okay. Yeah. You just went there. But, yeah, I enjoyed the movie, and there's just so many aspects of it. And I will say this. If you have a hard time with poo, don't go see this movie.
Or vomit. Or pee.
Or vomit. If you're okay with poo, vomit, and pee, then you're good to go. You're good to go.
What did you think about it, Mazer?
Me? It just hit everything I was expecting to hit. I mean, there's obviously these guys spend, I don't know how much time, inventing the most possibly painful but not permanently physically destructive things to do to themselves.
It's all physically destructive.
Not permanently, maybe just like a scar or a broken bone, but not like Although there is always the risk.
I don't know. Have you seen their mentality? Did you see their mentality in this movie? They weren't all there. I think over the years they've been jacked up.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. I think, I mean, I hope this is their last Jackass film because they're getting older and I don't think, you know, things don't heal as quick.
They recently did an interview with the director and they asked them about a Jackass sequel. Now, they are doing a Jackass 3.5 type movie, which is a lot of unused footage that didn't make it into this cut. They said they made enough, they have enough footage to make two films.
It's like the B-side.
Yeah, so they're going to be doing that. And then he was asked, well, are we going to see another sequel? And he talked about how the guys are pretty much, you know, they're in their 40s now. And, you know, so they're reaching their 40s. And he's like, hey, as long as they're willing to do it, you know, they'll keep doing it if they want them to. And obviously Paramount wants them to.
Well, they make a ton of money doing it.
I mean, it costs nothing to make these films. So I'm pretty sure we're going to see another Jackass sequel. And it probably won't take so long between this one and the next one as it was between Jackass 2 and
I did notice Jackass that TV. In this one there was less probably physically demanding stuff and more just gross to do stuff.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Definitely.
For me, like, the 3D was pretty effective. There are certain things that, like, were designed in 3D on purpose.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I got a chance to talk to these guys, like, for a press junket and stuff, and they were talking about how they really wanted to make sure that the movie was just as funny in 2D as opposed to 3D. So, I mean, there definitely were a couple different things that were designed specifically for 3D, like the whole opening and closing scenes or whatever, which were, I thought, really awesome. But for me, like, more effective than the 3D was their use of the Phantom camera, which was that thing that shoots, you know, 1,000 frames per second, and it's like super, super slow-mo. So they did this really awesome thing. One of my favorite bits was like not even a big stunt. It was just this little recurring gag that they had through the movie that was like a Rocky gag.
Yeah. Where,
like, if you guys haven't seen it, it's this thing where like somebody will be talking or just like off to the side or whatever, and one of the guys will have a boxing glove on his right hand and a cup of water in his left. So he'll come up behind this person who just happens to be, you know, completely unaware of what's happening, and they'll hurl the cup of water onto the left side of their face from behind. So your natural reaction, if that happens to you, is to kind of recoil away from it. So their head like moves to the right, and then the person who flung the water, as soon as they do that, they start swinging with their right fist, which has the boxing glove on it, and it just connects with this person's head as it's moving directly towards the fist. And it's all shot in like 1,000 frames per second. So you see what's coming in super slow-mo and just like the impact of these people, you know, getting completely dominated by this boxing glove is so awesome. Like, that was just one of the, you know, that's one of the kind of off the cuff things that they did that I really thought panned out and ended up being kind of one of my favorite parts in the movie just because of how funny it was.
Yeah. It's weird to, you know, the whole 3D thing. I'm not, you know, I rarely tell people go see a movie in 3D. Avatar, I said, okay, yes, I recommend you go see it in 3D. But since then, I've been like, you don't need to see that in 3D. That doesn't matter if you see that in 3D.
Yeah.
You can pass that on, you know.
Yeah.
But this one, I have to say, go see it in 3D.
Yeah.
Because it works. It's effective for what it is, you know. Yeah.
Everything's coming at you.
Yeah.
And it's the stuff you, like, I always feel like some of these 3D films, like, you don't feel immersed because of, I would say, a lack of particles and things like that. They're always like one thing pointed at you and it's a pointy thing instead of like a spray of like, you know, water or paintballs or, you know, things like that, which really makes it feel like you're in it. And they definitely take it.
Yeah. I mean, that one scene with the tetherball where they played tetherball with a beehive, that was a really great example of what you're talking about because the bees were flying around and it felt like you had this really kind of uneasy feeling. Like it was almost like the bees were in the theater with you because of how well they used the 3D.
Yeah,
because
you'd have a bee just come, just zip right past you, but it was like just, it wasn't where your eye was focused, so you kind of just felt like this thing just had just passed you.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend this movie if you're a fan of any sort of Jackass stuff.
It's just a good time, you know. It's not going to win any Academy Awards or anything, but it's hilarious.
Have to say that I get motion sick pretty easy, and the handheld stuff did make me motion sick, especially when the cameramen were vomiting. So,
yeah, there were, I think, two or three different instances where I literally was choking back bile in the theater because of how close I was to vomiting all over the place. So if that sounds awesome to you, then go see Jackass 3D.
There you go. Ben, you saw Paranormal Activity 2, didn't you?
I did. I know, you know, this is probably...
Just briefly talk about it. We're going to go into more depth next week, but, yeah. You know, what'd you think?
I really dug it. I was worried about this movie because it's one of those things where the success of Paranormal Activity last year, which it kind of feels like longer ago than last year, doesn't it? But anyway, the success of that movie last year caused Paramount to kind of rush Paranormal Activity 2 into production, and there was this big controversy about Kevin Grootert, I think his name was, who is the guy who directed the final Saw movie, which is also coming out this month. He was originally supposed to be set to direct Paranormal Activity 2, and then Lionsgate exercised this clause in his contract, forcing him to direct the last Saw movie, even though he didn't really want to. So there's this whole big kind of brouhaha, if you will, about Paranormal Activity 2 that really didn't inspire a lot of confidence, because it honestly didn't sound like stuff was going well. It didn't sound like anything other than a blatant cash grab on the studio's part.
Well, yeah, you look at something like Blair Witch 2,
yeah,
and how they just screwed that up. And
yeah, but this movie, man, if you dug Paranormal Activity, I think you'll love Paranormal Activity 2. It was very, very good. Super effective. I know that was something that you were wondering.
Yeah, I mean, are the scares there? Because the first one, you know, I got scared. So
yeah,
does this pack the same punch?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say it's just as effective, possibly even more effective, because of there's some things that we'll talk about next week, I'm sure, where the camera angles are slightly different. The tension is just the same all the time, you know, the same as the last movie. So it really kind of ramps it up. And I don't really want to say anything else about it, but I will say that I liked it a lot. If you guys enjoyed the first movie, definitely go check this one out. And it's something, too, where like the story is actually really good. So and it ties very well in with the first movie. That was something that also surprised me about it. So overall, it was probably like the one of the more effective horror movies I've seen in the past year or two.
Sounds good.
Yeah. One other thing that I want to mention very quickly is Predators. And I know we probably talked about this a long time ago. I should have gone back and listened to what you guys had to say about that. Because I never saw it in the theaters, but I got a chance to check out the Blu-ray. And the Blu-ray, I mean, the quality of it, the image looked really, really great. And Fox, you know, sent me a copy of this thing to kind of review, and I wrote up a review about it, and I just want to talk about it here for a second. Do you guys remember Predators? Do you remember the movie at all?
Yeah, it only came out like 3 months ago.
Okay, yeah, it's been...
it's already out on Blu-ray. Like, I went to Target tonight, and I'm like, wait, didn't this movie just come out?
Yeah.
Like, three months ago, and now it's on Blu-ray already. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. That's cool. The movie, like, it's not fantastic by any means, but I think it's a good Predators movie. I think it's the best Predator movie, or the best movie involving Predators since the original, which, again, isn't saying much considering Predator 2 and the freaking AVP series, which nobody should ever speak of ever again. But I don't know. I mean, I thought it was good. Like, if you're looking for kind of just essentially a mindless alien action movie, then you can do a lot worse than Predators. It's one of those things that has kind of an ensemble cast of people that you don't really expect. I mean, you've got like Danny Trejo and Topher Grace mixed in with Adrian Brody and Lawrence Fishburne, which is just like this WTF cast that's like, are you
make
serious?
Make the connection, guys.
What's
make
that?
The connection.
10 yeah. years from now, that's going to be a Connect 3.
Yeah. And I mean, people like Walton Goggins, who's doing really, really solid work on Justified, also, you know, pops up here and there. So there's like a lot of just really kind of confusing casting. But ultimately, I think it worked fairly well as one of these ensemble movies where these people are kind of thrown into the scenario where they have to come together as a unit and survive against these predators on this game planet or whatever. There's a lot of really cheesy dialogue and stuff, but I feel like Adrian Brody plays well against type. You know, oftentimes he's this kind of introverted character and stuff, and he is essentially like the badass of the movie, and he adopts this kind of Christian Bale Batman gruff voice that I wasn't really buying 100%, but I thought that he did well enough where he proved to me that he can do, you know, he's just kind of expanding his range and stuff. So I don't know. I mean, I found Predators to be fairly effective. P. Vader, I know you saw it. What did you think about it?
Yeah, you know, it's a pretty, it's not a bad movie by any means. And it's definitely an original Predator movie up in, you know, for the first half of it, I think. You know, and so I was, yeah, I was fairly entertained for at least the first half. The second half is kind of more what you would expect from a Predators movie, which is not to say that's bad, but it's just more predictable along those lines. But yeah, the cast is pretty cool, just in the sense that, like you were saying, it's they're all kind of from diverse parts of the movie universe, I guess.
So I'm gonna set up a head to head here.
Okay.
Red or Predators? Who's gonna win?
Which movie would I rather see?
Yeah.
I think Red.
Yeah, I'd have to say Red.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing, actually. Red. Now, if you're talking about which characters would win in a fight, I think Predators would probably take it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Red's a fun movie.
Helen Mirren with a semi.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, she's a badass in that movie.
But there was this really awesome scene in Predators that was like a sword fight. I don't know if you guys recall this, with the kind of stereotypical Asian character that they had. But this guy was really badass with the sword, and they had this really kind of gorgeously filmed sword fight that had a lot of shots from above looking down on this guy battling this predator with a ninja sword, like a samurai sword, and the grass is blowing and stuff. Really, really kind of gorgeous cinematography. And the big shame for me with Predators is that Nimrod Antal, who's the director, is really not getting enough credit for this movie because it's being marketed more as like a Robert Rodriguez film, even though he didn't actually direct it, he just produced it. So
yeah.
The movie looks like the original. Really good.
What's that?
The movie looks really good.
Yeah,
absolutely. It does.
Do you guys know what his next project is?
I don't, actually. I probably should, but I don't. But yeah, we can move on. I just wanted to kind of briefly mention that real quick. So.
Cool. Right. Let's see. One TV show I wanted to talk about real quick is the Mad Men season finale.
Correct.
Yeah. How awesome was that? I wasn't expecting it. I mean, that totally threw me for a loop.
I guess we should probably say spoilers for the...
Well, I'm not going to say anything. I was just saying it really threw me for a loop.
All right. Well, we'll try to talk around it then. So, P. Vader, I know you've got some kind of...
I won't go into spoilers, but I don't know. It's kind of hard for me to say. Like, it's definitely surprising. I just don't know... Like, it just came so far out of left field. I don't know if it's acceptable, you know? Like, everyone else's kind of storyline is, you know, right on par, and I'm with it. But Don's is... What happens with Don's storyline is kind of like...
It was all over the place this season with Don.
Yeah, I just didn't see it coming. Not, you know, I guess I haven't quite formulated my final opinion on it. The verdict's still kind of out for me. But, you know, it's not the worst. It's not bad. It's just unexpected.
Yeah.
What did you think, Mazer?
Yeah, I would say it was definitely more surprise. I wanted to see progression.
Right.
I didn't see progression.
Yeah.
I saw surprise.
Yeah.
Joan sums up what's possibly going to happen in the future.
Yeah, that looks like a fun storyline down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely kind of throws you for a loop. I kind of enjoyed it just because of how brazen it was. But yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying about the progression and stuff. And this season, too, for me, has been all about Sterling Cooper, Draper Price, and how their kind of their rise and fall and stuff like that. And I feel like they could have concentrated a lot more on the company itself, especially with how much attention they've been paying to that over the past few episodes. And then they just kind of essentially left it open-ended. I mean, Peggy did some stuff. Again, I'm not going to say exactly what she did, but she did something to move the company in a certain direction. But that wasn't necessarily enough for me, if you know what I mean, as far as dealing with the company, which I felt like the whole season dealt with the company. So why wouldn't the finale kind of deal with that even more? I don't know. But
reason why the show will probably win another Emmy.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. And I actually, overall, I really enjoyed the season. I think it's my favorite one so far, just because, and P. Vader knows this because I watch it with him, I absolutely despise the character of Betty Draper, or Betty Francis now.
Oh, gosh, and, makes me want to puke.
She's gotten so much worse over the course of the series, but now she's, like, borderline unwatchable for me. It's just, like, every time she comes on screen, I roll my eyes, and I'm just like, oh, God, get over it. Like, let's move on to something else. So P. Vader kind of jokingly suggested to me while we were watching the finale that perhaps she'll hang herself by the end of the episode, and I really kind of wish that that would happen, as horrible as that is, just so I don't have to deal with her in future seasons. But
I think she's going to end up in a mental institute.
She very well could. And that would actually kind of turn around very weirdly, considering John Hamm plays an employee of a mental institute in Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch coming up.
Oh, face!
Yeah. I think I'd like to really see what – I think they're going to – this next – I mean, so far she's been all kinds of whiny and pouty, and I think there might be a point where she grows up and becomes an adult.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
If that happens, I will be much more open to her character.
She is going to an insane asylum where she will receive a lobotomy.
Some people have like speculated the Don and Peggy thing, and if Betty becomes a well-rounded human being, that might throw for some conflict.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. That being said, I love January Jones, just not Betty Draper.
Yeah, I really liked her in American Wedding.
So January, if you're listening to this podcast, just keep that in mind.
You have the P. Vader option available.
She's not.
Thanks, Bankman.
She only listens to the odd numbered podcast.
Yeah, there you go. So we're gonna move on to some geek news that has come out the last couple weeks. The Hobbit has officially been greenlit, so congratulations. Peter Jackson is directing. It's official. Martin Freeman is starring in the role as Bilbo Baggins. That's been confirmed today, as well as the rest of the Hobbit cast.
There's a ton of them.
Yeah, at least everyone that's going
to
be.
I've got a question. I've tried to read up about this, and I'm still a bit confused. What was with the unions and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. The unions came out and said boycotted the film, saying that they weren't going to pay their actors union wages, that they wouldn't come to an agreement with the unions.
Because there's going to be 13 dwarves.
Yeah.
In the film. That's a lot of actors, plus...
Well, even earlier today before this hit, all of a sudden, you know, the news broke that, okay, the unions have lifted it, this whole have lifted the ban, the boycott, and that everyone can take their roles now. So, yeah, and then right after that happened, all the announcements burst out. But the film still probably isn't going to end up shooting in New Zealand, which is kind of a shame because New Zealand is Middle Earth. I mean,
yeah,
that's, you know, that's where they filmed the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy, and it's kind of sad that they're going to take the production to another country. And they have and the reason they're doing it is because of money. They say they can't New Zealand is too expensive for them to film the movie there, even though the film has a budget of $500 million.
No, are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's got to be like the most expensive movie of all time.
Well, I think they're spreading that out between the two films. So that's $250 million each Hobbit film.
All right.
But it's still a lot of freaking money.
Yeah.
I think with MGM stuff, you got to take what you can get these days.
At least the ball's moving.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to hear any sort
Definitely.
Progression, getting back to progression.
I'm happy Peter Jackson's directing it.
Yeah.
I would have been fine with Del Toro doing it, but hell, Peter Jackson did the original trilogy, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and I am more than happy to see what he does, him come back and direct The Hobbit.
Yeah. It seems just moving in a positive direction for once.
Yeah, it is. It is. So the movie's greenlit. Actors have been announced. The thing is moving forward. We're going to start seeing leaked photos. We're going to start seeing, actors talking about the movie more and leaking information. And we're going to start posting little one-line sentences that give some sort of plot detail. You know how it is. You know how the internet is. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But, so expect a lot more Hobbit news coming. The movie's going to start filming in February of next year. And, it's going. And I'm excited. How can you not be? I mean, we've been waiting for this for way too long.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's cool because they're going to do the same type of release schedule that The Lord of the Rings did, where I think it's December of 2012 is when the first part's going to come out, and then December of 2013 is when the next one is going to come. So it's just a year apart.
Now, when is the end of the world?
It's supposed to be
December.
Yeah, like 12th, 2012.
Yeah, December 12th, 2012. So
hopefully it'll be before that.
Yeah, well, only time will tell. So that's cool. I'm happy that the Hobbit's moving forward, and I'm sure all of you are as well.
Hopefully it's not a Mayan Y2K type of problem.
Yeah, exactly right. No, we can't see it now because we're dead? All right. Another little thing I want to talk about is Batman 3. We have official confirmation, I guess, that Tom Hardy has been cast in the film.
Hardy.
Tom Hardy. The hell. I don't know how that happened. P. Vader, it's your fault. You planted my mind.
I'm pretty sure I corrected you.
I actually went into your mind and planted that incorrect name.
It was an inception.
Yeah, man. Inception.
So Tom Hardy has been cast in Batman in a lead role. There is no, they haven't said whether he's going to be a villain or a good guy, but chances are if it's a lead role and the lead role is already taken, the other lead role would be the villain.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was going to be Robin, actually.
Oh, gosh, no. Please, no.
Yeah.
That would be hilarious because he'd be twice the size of Batman almost, right?
I know, right? But there is speculation that he will be playing Killer Croc,
which I don't see. I don't know. I don't.
For which me, would that's... be cool. I like Killer Croc as a villain.
For me, Killer Croc was almost like one step above henchman. He never had a plan.
Yeah.
He never had anything – he was just kind of this physical entity you had to watch out for.
Christopher Nolan's going to give him a plan.
I think
he's going to give him an entity.
I think it was
– maybe. If that's even the villain, who knows? I mean, that's just a rumor. So
yeah. Did you post the original Tom Hardy thing on Geek Tyrant? Was that you?
I post so much.
You don't even know. I'll assume it's you. But anyways, I was reading it, and it said, in one version of the Batman spectrum, Killer Croc is kind of like this he's trying to make it in like, the mob world, so he's kind of like a hitman of...
Yeah.
And he's taking them out. to get to the top, and he just happens to be like disformed or whatever the word is. And that's why, you know, he got the name Croc.
Yeah.
So I think if they kind of go that route, that seems kind of cool to me.
But even still,
Mafia totally Hitman doable. Versus Batman.
Yeah. You know, it would be interesting to see how they work it in, but, you know, he might not even be Killer Croc. So.
I feel like if they were to do Killer Croc in that way, that he would be a lot more effective as just a side character.
Yeah.
And not the main villain, because I know they've been liking to...
I mean, yeah.
You know, get a couple, like, multiple villains in and stuff. But I feel like that would be really kind of an effective side character. But I don't know if Tom Hardy as a lead role would qualify in that way.
Exactly.
Like that.
And that's the thing is, like, yeah, okay. Killer Croc could be in the movie, but will it be played by Tom Hardy? We don't know. So, I mean, for all we know, he's playing the Riddler. You know?
Yeah.
So, which would also be cool.
Although none of the villains have been confirmed or denied.
Mm-hmm. None of them have been confirmed or denied.
I mean, it could be the Penguin. It could be. I mean, there's a ton of villains for Batman. So
I'm just gonna assume that he's the Clock King, and we'll move forward from there.
I was thinking he was gonna be a cross-dressing Catwoman and move on from there.
Mr. Freeze, and then move forward. Which doesn't seem right in the Nolan universe now.
It will be cool to see what he ends up doing, to see who the villains will be. Hopefully we find out soon. If they could keep it a secret, that would be awesome.
He's the next DA.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be it's something as simple as that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so we'll see what happens. But stay tuned for more Batman news as it leaks out, I guess.
Definitely.
Most of it will be rumors.
Yeah.
This week, it was also recently, there's another rumor out there that Mark Wahlberg was being sought to star in the Crow remake. And today it was announced that Stephen Norrington, the director of the film, has dropped out after being attached to it for well over a year. I believe he's been developing this project, but that's come to an end. I don't see the reason to remake the movie anyway. It, you know, it has its cult following. It has its fan base. They love the original film. They're all pissed off that a remake is even happening.
Yeah, the creator of The Crow is happy with the original film.
So why remake it when its main audience is going to hate it in the long run? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They already do hate it.
I never saw the original, so I have zero interest in the property already. So
there you go.
You know,
yeah. There you go.
That's
See?
Where I stand.
Yeah. If you've seen any the original or know anything about The Crow, Mark Wahlberg seems like a bad
opposite
idea.
Of what
Wahlberg's great in the roles that are right for him, but The Crow is not. It would not be.
Yeah.
So
what's his name? Is it Jason? What's his name? He's in Conan.
Jason Momoa.
He would have been great in The Crow, but I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe, you know, with Norrington dropping out, the movie obviously is now in limbo until they find another director, if they decide to find another director. But, you know, they've developed this film so much with Norrington, you know, all that's going to be just thrown out the window at this point, and whoever they bring on. I mean, maybe they already have someone on. You know, and they just haven't announced it yet. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it'll just die, in which that would make people happy. if the movie just kind of went away.
Yep.
Personally, I just don't see the point in remaking it. So, yeah. I don't see a financial... I don't even see it as like a financial decision for a studio to say,
well, there's
oh,
so many
let's
things
remake that... the Crow because it's going to be successful. I don't think it would be successful. I don't know.
There's still some, you know, things out there that haven't been made. I mean, Sandman is one of those things that they've been trying to make for.
Yeah.
Who knows if they'll ever do that one?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. And then one other interesting little tidbit of news that just kind of got the horror geek community in an uproar, and that is the Weinstein Company is looking to remake Hellraiser as a PG-13 movie. And you
well, the Weinsteins know how to please the geeks, don't they? They really do. They get us.
When you say – just the name, when you think or say Hellraiser, you don't think – PG-13.
Yeah,
it is a hard R film. Have you guys seen the original movies?
No, I was always terribly frightened of the VHS covers when I used to wander the aisles of Blockbuster as a child.
Well, they're not. The covers are pretty tame compared to what the movie is. I mean, it's a gore fest. It is a hard R, dark and disturbing film that would give any little child nightmares, or some adults, I'm sure, have had nightmares. But how stupid they must be to want to turn this thing into a PG-13 film. It just,
or maybe they're going, Saw has done the gore to death. And you've got Eli Roth, who's done all his stuff. Perhaps let's do it. Let's do horror intelligently.
No. See. No.
No?
Okay. Have the Weinsteins ever made an intelligent horror film? Have they made an intelligent film in the last 2 years?
Let's expand that to five.
The 5 years.
Did they?
Yeah, they haven't made great intelligent moves with their stuff. Like, they seem to almost want to work against the genres they're working in.
Exactly. That's exactly it. It's like, let's take this property and do the complete opposite of what the fans want. You know?
Mm.
Doesn't make any sense. And they're looking to cast.
But when you have, you know,
they're looking to cast Amber Heard in the lead female role. You know, because they want the movie to be marketed to a teenage audience. It's
sure.
Like, I'm sure they're going to want it to be in 3D, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's just...
I don't know. I mean, if
it's another one of these movie decisions that just doesn't make sense of, like, taking this classic horror genre that also, you know, has a very strong cult following and... Turn it on its head and make it into a PG-13 non-gore fest? Or,
yeah.
You know, what are they going to cut out all the blood and hellish stuff that makes Hellraiser what it is? I mean, there's a reason why they called it Hellraiser.
The only thing I can think of is, like, I was just looking on Wikipedia about this since, you know, I haven't seen any of these movies. And apparently there's, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different movies already in the Hellraiser franchise. So they're clearly looking for some sort of replacement for Saw and stuff like that. I mean, not that the Weinsteins really have anything to do with Saw, but, you know, a kind of competitor to Paranormal Activity, basically, which, you know, after the release of the second one, really looks like it's going to be the kind of next big horror franchise that's going to be around, you know, every Halloween. They're going to be releasing new versions and stuff. So I'm guessing they're trying to play on the fact that this is kind of a long-running series, and maybe they can kind of capture some of that. But, you know, the whole PG-13 remake thing, I mean, this has got Platinum Dunes written all over it in my book. Like, that's what it kind of
reads
of. And it's like, even if it's not done by Platinum Dunes, I feel like it's going to look like one of those movies, which is just like, everything is so cookie cutter and just not interesting. So, and, you know, Amber Heard, like, whatever, she might be in some good stuff in the future, but she has not proven herself to me. I mean, we saw All the Boys Love Mandy Lane at Comic-Con, and that was
one
that, like, you know, the horror community has kind of been raving about since, like, whatever, 2006 when it was made and then essentially screened at like Buttonumathon or something like that and then dumped to DVD, which nobody has been able to see until now or whatever. And it's like, we got a chance to watch that movie and it was awful. So I have almost zero faith in Amber Heard. And I just don't really have any interest in this franchise at all.
Yeah, and honestly, I think the fans of Hellraiser aren't going to have any interest in it either at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to screw up with, you know, a property that they already, you know, love, then
yeah,
the Weinsteins have just shot themselves in the foot.
I mean, plus the freaking remake was announced in November of 2006, so it's 4 years for them to even just, like, get to this point, and production started.
I know. Yep. So that's happening.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I mean, if you're fans of Hellraiser, then the best way you can stick to the man is not pay to see the movie when they release it.
True, true. Sometimes that's the best thing, you know, just like not supporting things that don't look good, because that's the only way studios are going to know not to keep doing it.
Exactly. Exactly. On that note, let's talk about what we have coming up this week. Tonight, actually, midnight, Paranormal Activity 2 opens up in theaters, and I'm sure it's going to blow up.
Yeah, it's getting good buzz and stuff already.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of reviews. It's a lot of positive reviews on it, and you know, Ben liked it, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. I liked the first movie. I thought it was effective, and I'm hearing good things about this, so I will go see this movie.
Nice.
And I think that's the only movie coming out this week, isn't it?
Yep. I'm looking, and that is pretty much the only thing that opens wide, so it should actually have a really, really good opening weekend, because it's not even competing with anything.
So there you go. It's going to be number one, I call it.
You bold predictor, you.
I do what I can. Other than that, do we have anything else that we want to talk about?
I think that's it, man. You locked down all the announcements early on, so we're good.
I did lock down the announcements. So if you guys want to re-listen to that part, go ahead, by all means.
Sweet.
Other than that, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. We appreciate everyone that comes to the site and reads our stuff. We're doing the best we can to keep the news rolling in, and we hope, you know, you guys are enjoying everything. If you guys have any suggestions, please feel free to email us and let us know what we can do better.
GeekTyrant@gmail.com.
Yes, GeekTyrant@gmail.com. And, you know, leave reviews for this podcast and let us know what you think. Other than that, you know, awesome, guys. Thanks for being a bunch of awesome geek troopers. We appreciate it. And keep coming back to the site and checking us out.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
Take care.